Bless the Lord.
Stars in the sky, flowers that bloom, oceans of blue.
have so much to be thankful for this morning.
That's right, amen.
Appreciate the song. Amen. It's a beautiful song. Got so much to thank Him for.
That's right.
Amen. For my church, my family. The blessings of God being upon us is just wonderful to receive help from the Lord. Do you love Him this morning, church? We appreciate you coming, being a part of the service. May God just richly bless you for being here. Amen. Praise God. If you're a first-time visitor, may God just richly bless you. Amen. We're here for you. We desire to preach the Word of God to you and receive what the Lord would have for us this morning. Amen. Good to have Sister Leanna coming, being with us. She's dear to our hearts. We appreciate her and her family. May the Lord richly bless you all. Turn to the book of Jonah if you have your Bibles this morning. We want to read some scripture there. And in the book of Jonah, we're all familiar with the story of Jonah. And we want to refer to scripture here this morning, preach what the Lord would have us to preach, to be a help to you this morning. So we want to first read in chapter number 1 of the book of Jonah, then we're going to skip over to chapter number 3 in this book, a short book of 4 chapters. Amen, praise God, but such a message from the book of the life of Jonah that we can learn from, praise God. You know, church, we can always learn. We never know too much. We always have room to learn God's Word. Look at chapter number 1, begin reading verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Skip over to chapter number 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So we refer to chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the first time. Chapter number 3, the word of the Lord came to him the second time. My message this morning, by God's help, is the God of second chance. The God of second chance. Pray with me and for me that God will help us here this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your Spirit. We're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God that's been taught this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we can learn thy Word. God, I pray that you'll take this message, amen, from the book of Jonah, that we can learn thereby, God. We pray for the great power and anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us, Lord, to bring forth the message, that it'll be a help and encouragement to people. We look to you, Lord, in faith, believing, God, that you are a God of second chance. And God, that you're able to bless us, God, with the true anointing and the power of God. Amen. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The unction and the move of the Spirit within us. Let it move in us, saturate us, God. Amen. We need a heaven touch anointing of the power and the Spirit of God. We love you, God. We're thankful, Lord, that we can rejoice, that we have so much to thank you for. We're saved. We're alive in God. We have the Spirit. Lord, I praise you this morning for the free, amen, the fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm thankful, amen, God, that you're real. I'm thankful that heaven's real and awaits the children of God. But Lord, you have sent for us here in this service this morning. God, let it be, God. Amen, through the Spirit, God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let your word go forth. Let us receive it, God. Give grace to the hearers, knowing that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And everything, Lord, that is accomplished will forevermore praise you. And everyone that loved the Lord said amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Church, we learn here from these verses of Scripture, amen, in chapter 1, 2, and 3. We know what happened here in chapter number 2 about the life of Jonah. Amen, praise God. I'll be bringing some of that out to cover ground here on this message for a foundation, knowing it needs to be preached. First, we know that Jonah was a prophet to northern Israel. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, amen, by God, telling him to go to Nineveh and warn them to preach to them concerning their sin. There was a very sinful nation that God was going to bring judgment upon Nineveh. Amen. We know, as we know the life of Jonah, he did not obey God. He disobeyed God. He began to run from the presence of the Lord. He began to run away. Amen. He did not obey the call and to go preach unto Nineveh as God had told him to do. So we know he fled to Tarsus. And therefore, amen, when he come into this place, it said he went down to Joppa. I want you to listen to this now. Amen. So when he fled away from the presence of God, Jonah went down to Joppa. And therefore he aborted the ship that was there, and he went down into the ship. It said he went down to the sides of the ship. Amen. So we know when Jonah began to disobey God, he began to go down. He went down to Joppa. He aborted the ship. He went down into the ship, and he went further down to the sides of the ship. And we know what happened there when he went down. He fell asleep. Could you imagine there? He fell asleep, and this great storm of the tempest came into the sea. And we know the sailors were aboard this ship, and fear struck their heart. Amen. Why was there such a storm in the midst of the sea? God sent the storm to Jonah. That's what he was doing, to awaken him to obey the call. Amen. To go and to preach unto Nineveh. Amen. So we know what had happened. This great fear come upon the sailors. And we read here in verse number 6, after the sailor had awakened Jonah out of his sleep, and he said there, the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, "Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us." So they begin to cast lots, and what happened? The lot fell upon Jonah. Oh yes. Oh yes, and we know according, amen, when the lot fell upon Jonah, Jonah knew, amen, that God was, amen, giving him another chance, so to speak. We know that when the lot fell upon him, he had told his sailors to cast him out to the sides of the ship, and therefore he went out to the depths of the sea. And we know, oh yes, God sent that great storm. Oh yes, he did, in order to persuade this Jonah, amen, oh yes, to call upon his God, to obey his God. And because of Jonah's disobedience, amen, the lives of the sailors were in jeopardy. They were in danger. Then you know, saints of God, if we're not fully committed to the will of God, then you know that even our friends and our family can suffer from it. Amen. Oh, yes, can you believe that this morning? Let's give him a good hand clap of praise. Oh, yes, church. Oh, that's what we can see and know. Amen. The sailors possibly marked this when they had cast the lots upon Jonah. Amen. No more. Jonah said, "Just cast me forth into the depths of the sea." When they cast him out of the ship, amen, the storm began to calm. And we know there was Jonah again going down into the depths of the sea, coming out of the ship and going down again, down and down into the depths of the sea. And what happened after he went into the sea? God provided a great fish. We know this, a large fish. Some refer to it as a large whale that swallowed up Jonah. And there he was in the belly of this whale for 3 days. Oh, yes, and while Jonah was in that whale, amen, no more down in the belly of that whale. This great fish we refer to as a whale. But saints of God, there it was. It was no more being like a place called hell. Amen. We think about that terrible place of eternal damnation to the people that go there. But I'm glad to know, saints of God, when Jesus preached about that terrible place, amen, it was no more than Jonah felt like, amen, the suffering, amen, he went through in the well of that old great fish. And there he was in disobedience to God. I guess everything was rolling in his mind. Could you imagine what was going through the mind of Jonah? If I would obey the call, if I would have went into Nineveh, if I'd preach, if I just trusted God, if I just believed God, amen, this would have never happened to me. My life has went down. Listen, Jonah was a man that ran away from God, but he could not hide from him. You may run from him, but you can't hide from him. Come on now. And that's what happened with the life of Jonah. When he began to run from God, he could not hide. Amen. Did he think to himself that he was hiding in the, amen, in that fish's belly? I don't know, but I'm telling you, saints of God, they come to know that Jonah was in trouble. Oh yes, what did he say in chapter number 2? Said he prayed unto the Lord his God in the fish's belly.
That's right.
He said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." Thank God that he heard me out of the belly of this great fish. He said, "Hell, oh yes, amen, oh yes, cried I, amen, it heareth my voice." My God, hear me when I pray. Hear me, God. And therefore God allowed this great fish, amen, to vomit Job out into the land. And there he knew he was rescued, amen, from this great fish. What did he do in chapter number 3? We know that he went on to obey God. Amen. Oh, yes, when he come to him the second time, He did obey. He went to Nineveh. What did he do? He preached. He preached. Amen. Praise God. Did the people take heed of Jonah's message? They took heed. They repented. Oh, yes, they did. Amen. They began to seek God. Oh, praise God. Aren't you thankful that the mercy of God was extended? Aren't you thankful, church, that when Jonah, he obeyed the call and he went to preach? Amen. Glory to God. Whether they was going to receive this gospel or not, he went to preach. He knew he better obey God the second time. He knew. Amen. Oh, yes. But what did he have to suffer those 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that old fish? Amen. What was going through his mind? He said, in hell there I was. I cried out, God, hear my voice. I think about the suffering of us, church. If we disobey the call of God, the gifts of the calling of God are without repentance. We must obey the call. We must obey the call of God. Can you say amen? So he delivered the message. The people took heed. Oh yes, the people in Nineveh, the scripture said, believe God. And they proclaimed a fast. Amen. And put themselves on sackcloth. Amen. Amen. And begin to seek God. I'm telling you, saints of God, when they begin to seek the Lord. Amen. The word came into the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with that sackcloth and in ashes, and he began to seek the Lord his God. I'm telling you, saints of God, it pains to obey. Amen. And amen. I believe the word of the Lord, one of the scripture in the book of Acts. Amen. What he had said, I believe it was Paul, one of the apostles, when he referred, I'd rather obey God than man. But you, I'd rather obey God than man. And that's what Jonah come to know. Amen. I need to obey God rather than man. I'm telling you, saints of God, God is a God of second chance. He had mercy. Amen. Glory to God. How many times has he come to you the second time? And he began to work with your heart. And we begin to disobey God because we do not take heed to the Spirit's call. We do not take heed to that beckoning call, that wooing of the Spirit. But I'm telling you, saints of God, God is a God of second chance. He is a God that delivers. He is a God that sets free. He is a God that can redeem his church. He is a God that can redeem his people. We need to call on God and say, God, help us this morning. Let's give him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Praise God. Amen. The word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time.
Right.
Amen. We think about his love. We think of his mercy. We think of his saving grace. We think of the redemption plan of salvation. We think about how Jesus died for us. We think about the resurrection of the power. Amen. That rose him from the dead. We think about, amen, praise God, power in this glorious gospel. Amen. Glory to God. He saved his church. I think about the life of Jonah. He went down, 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 down. Amen. Oh, yes. What about the sinful man? His life is in despair. Oh, his life is influenced by sin. And let sin control his life. And he goes down and down, and one day he'll go into the down pits of hell. Oh, he'll cry out, his God, but it'll be too late. It'll be too late. It's just like what Brother Jeff referred to this morning. We can say for the Christian man, he's born twice, but he'll die once. But for the sinner man, he'll be born once and he'll die twice. And that second death, it's referred to be the separation from God for eternity. Amen. The first death, amen, and this body's going to go back to ashes. It's going to go back to dust. And that soul lives on. And that second death, it's going to be in hell. It's going to be in the flames of hell, separated him, amen, from his God forever. The rich man knew the second death.
Right.
He died the first death, and he was buried.
Yes.
But in hell, he lifted up his eyes, amen, being in torment.
Right.
Amen. Did the rich man have a second chance then? Did he have a second chance? No, not in hell. He didn't have no second chance. Amen. No water in hell, for he cried out unto Lazarus, who is in the bosom of Abraham. If you could just take your finger and dip it in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Did you know the man in hell today
has his senses. He knows what it is to see and smell. Oh, yes, and even how taste. But there's not even a fresh, not even taste of cool water to cool his tongue. For he's tormented in that flame. I think about my loved ones that's in hell today. Amen. They're crying out. But God will not hear. There's a gulf. Amen. Between hell and God. Amen. He's not going to hear the cries of men. He's not going to hear them. And Jesus said it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Oh yes, where the worm dies, the fire is never quenched. That's a place called hell. Amen. Praise God. Listen, when I say that Jesus saved me, he saved me from my sins. I don't have to go to hell. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus first took away my sin. But I didn't have to go to a place called hell. Hell was not prepared for you and I. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Because of men's disobedience, the scripture teaches us by one man's disobedience, the first Adam, were sinners. Oh yes, but by one man's obedience, that's Christ, the second Adam, we're righteous. We're made righteous. Aren't you thankful for that, saints of God? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have to die to death. And that the sting of death came into a devil's hell. I've been saved. I've been delivered. I've been set free. And I think about the times in my sufferings. God saying, son, amen, return back to the altar. Seek my face. Call on my name. Believe this glorious gospel. Believe my word. Trust my word. Stand on my word. For my word is powerful.
That's right.
For my word is infallible. For my word is inspiring. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why his word is inspiring.
Amen.
Amen. All this glorious gospel and these scriptures, it's the inspiration of God. Amen. What's it good for, preacher? It's good. Amen. Amen. For reproof and for correction, is it not? It is. For instruction, it is. Everything that we need in this glorious book is found in these pages. Amen. The only way we can do church is get lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost reveal our eyes to the Holy Book, the Holy Scriptures. I'm saved by it. I'm touched by it. I believe it. I stood on it. I claim it. I trust it. I received it. It's the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's give him a good hand clap of praise here this morning. How many believe he's the God of second chance?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God.
How many believe I say he is the God of second chance? Amen. Was he showing his mercy to Nineveh? Sure he was. Amen. It's no more the long suffering of God when he said, amen, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some being count slackness, but he is long suffering, not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's for you and I, and that's for Nineveh. Oh, that city of Assyria, that wicked place, those wicked people, would they have drowned in their wickedness and their sin? Surely they would have, if it had not been for Jonah obeying the call. First, God had the mercy to Jonah. He went down, but thank God he experienced something he'll never want to experience again. It was not the literal burning hell. Oh yes, of the flames of hell that men are in today. He was in the, amen, in the fish's belly. But he knew no more than hell for him. Amen. God, have mercy on me. Deliver me from this. Hear my voice, hear my cry. Isn't it good to know, church, that God hears our cries? Isn't it good to know he hears us when we pray? Isn't it good to know he's still a God that saves and delivers? Amen. He saves to the gutter. He saves to the uttermost. He's still the same God. He's never changed. He's still the same.
You love me this morning.
Praise God.
Amen. Brother Joe, I thank God for that this morning. Amen.
Praise God.
He had mercy. He had mercy. Amen. God is going to work. God is going to move upon the sincere in heart. Amen. It has committed themselves. What did I say? It's no more than Jonah and his disobedience. Amen. People's going to suffer around him. I believe that for a man's family and his friends. If we're not committed to the will of God, people's going to suffer. Amen. But we're to serve his will. Amen. We have to learn a few things. We have to pray over a few things. We have to indulge more in spiritual things. But once we begin to awaken ourselves to the true meaning of spirituality and what God's trying to do for me, I'm growing in grace and admonition of the Lord. Amen. The word of God, amen, has been applied to my daily walk. I say, God, here I am, just a vessel that's going to be consecrated. If I'm going to be a vessel for God, meet for the master's use, just another time, just another message, just another service. Not that we proclaim your gospel. Amen. Like Jonah, he went in to preach one message to Nineveh.
Right. Amen.
One message made the difference
right.
for the whole city.
Right.
Does that tell me this morning that one man can make a difference?
Right.
Does that tell me that one message can stand between us and eternity?
All right. Boom.
For the soul, she shall receive the word of God. And what hurts me to know that many people today in our churches all over America, amen, the man of God delivers a message and people don't take heed.
Right.
Amen, they don't take the warnings. Amen, when the Spirit begins to call, men reject the call. They grieve the Spirit. They quench the Spirit. They're not willing to obey the Spirit. But church, do we need to obey? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on now.
That's right.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. We need to be one that can obey. God help me, be one that can obey. But listen, church, we think of the story of Jonah. Amen. Did he come to him the second time? He obeyed the call. But how many times has God come to us? Pray the second time. And he extended to the third time. Jesus was that way with Peter, James, and John when he was in the garden. When he went to the garden to pray, when he came back to the place where he had told them to watch. Can he just watch for 1 hour?
That's right.
He was asleep. No more when Jonah was asleep. And oh, amen, down in the sides of that ship. He was asleep. Amen. Oh, yes. This storm came. God was sending the storm for Jonah to awaken him. You need to obey me. But did he have to obey? He went into the belly's well, but did he have to obey? He didn't have to obey. It was going to be his choice to obey.
Right.
Amen. Through the suffering he went through, he knew he was crying out. Amen. Oh, yes. But we are free choice. Jonah did not steal. He did not have to go to Nineveh. God didn't come down and twist his arm to go. It was not a host of angels that come down and say, you better obey me. If you don't obey me, you're going to end up in the real flames of hell. No, there was no message like that given to Jonah. But he knew what he went through.
Right.
He knew he needed to heed this call. Is it the sufferings that we go through, church, that lets us know that God is near to us? He's coming through for us. We suffer for a little while, but he's going to strengthen, establish, us, and settle us.
Right.
That's what it's good for. Amen. That we can come to know the will of God, and we're suffering according to the will of God. That's what he said. For he that suffers according to the will of God, but for our good, he's going to settle us, and amen, and establish us. And, amen. Glory to God. We're going to be established. Amen. We're established because we're standing firm. We're standing on this gospel. It's powerful. We need to take heed to it, saints. We need a spirit of God now. We need a mercy of God now. He's still extending his hand of mercy. What did he say there? Isaiah 59:1. Amen. His arm is not too short that he cannot save. His ear is not too heavy that he cannot hear. He still has a ear to hear. He's still extending his hand of mercy out to a lost and dying world, to my children, your children, our families.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Do you love him, church, this morning?
Right.
Are you thankful?
Right.
He's the God of second chance. We thank the God of second chance going back to the sinner, persuading them to come down to the altar and give their life to Christ. How many times have people have rejected that call? And the mercy of God was extended another time for the third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time. Does God have to give all those opportunities?
No.
He will have mercy on whom he will, and he will have compassion on whom he will. My God, help us this morning.
Bless him.
Oh my God, help us. I don't know if I refer to this story or not. You may have heard me say this. But I have a distant relative that attended church with me several years ago. Amen. Before I started pastoring, he was a distant relative. Oh yes. And his daughter was killed in an automobile accident. And because of what had happened, he blamed God for what happened.
And because of him blaming God, amen, he blamed God because she was took away. She was took. I don't know the story altogether. Amen. But after a period of time, he come to church. And this is what was told me. After a period of time, he knew that he had blamed God. He knew what had happened. And he was coming to church now to hear the gospel preached to him. Amen. This got a second chance. Amen. And this is what come to me later as what I was told. That he was coming to church to find God. Because he felt like he couldn't find him. You're talking about a miserable state to be in. Could you imagine a man trying to come to church hearing the gospel, desiring to pray, desiring to be saved, and don't feel God calling him? Now, I have a hope today to be saved. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a long, 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 long time. He's still living. But I did hear that his son was saved later on. Hope he's still in church. I don't know if he is or not. Like I said, I haven't heard from him in such a long time. Hey, but I hope, pray he is saved today. I don't know if he's in church. I don't know if he's out of church. But I know what happened then. Hey, man, I know what I was told to be. Listen, wouldn't it be a terrible state to be in to try to find? He wants peace, but he don't have peace. He wants joy, but he don't have joy. He's going to church, the source of help. He's hearing the gospel message. Amen. Listen, when God calls, you better take heed to the call. When God deals with your heart, you need to take heed to that and respond to God.
That's right. Come on, man.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
Oh. And we know there's sinners all across this nation that has been dealt with time and time again. The God of mercy and long suffering as he is to deal with a man numerous times. It's how merciful our God is.
True.
But no man knows, amen, the times that God has dealt with him in the present years. See, when he does not take heed to the call, what happens? His heart becomes more hardened. Yes, God. That's why young people, that's why the scripture teaches us in the wisdom of Solomon. He said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth.
That's right.
Serve God in your youth. Amen. When you're tender, as years pass, your hearts become hardened against God. Amen. What is the percentage of men past 40 years old is saved? What about the percentage of young people from the age of 12 on up to 20 and 25 and so that are saved? The percentage is going to be far greater with the young than it is with the old. Why? Because all the years have passed and that hardened heart has refused God for so long. At one time it was like planting the tree for the first time. It's young and tender. Amen. You can go out there and put a string to it and you can sort of shape it the way you will. Amen. Work with that little tender tree that you planted. But you let 2 years go by. You let 5 years go by and you try to bend it then. You try to shape it then. It's impossible to shape it. Wrong, it's done took roots. I have a water oak in my yard. Back when I first moved there, it was such a small tree. I could bend it and shape it. But after 15 years past, it's huge. It's a big, large tree. If I'm going to do anything, I'll have to cut it down to get rid of it. If that's what I choose to do. But listen, saints of God, the heart's tender. Amen, glory to God. Serve thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen, the God of second chance is coming by the second time. Amen, is that soul going to take heed this time? Is my children going to take heed this time? My grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews. Amen, my loved ones, my friends. Are they going to take heed to the beckoning call of God? Amen, the God of second chance is saying, come. Come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Amen. Praise God.
Bless you, Lord. Praise God.
I think about church. For those I believe that will be beheaded in the time of the tribulation. For Revelation teaches us in one scripture about those that come out of great tribulation. Amen. Their lives were given, or martyred, or beheaded the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sure.
Think about the ones that's going to be left behind. Think about what the world is going to, the suffering of the world is going to be in the near future. In the near future. Very near future. We know the Antichrist crisis somewhere now. Whether it comes out around Turkey and Syria or Iran or Iraq in that area. Haman, he's going to rise up one day and he's going to have power. And all is going to bow down and worship what he desires. One dictator, one world ruler, one world church, one world currency, or whatever it's going to shape up to be. But saints of God, in this one world church or one world religion, I'm glad to know I'm not going to be a part of that. It's not the, amen, the man on the radio said. He was complaining about it being hot, you know, over 100 degrees. Maybe the, amen, it might be 98, but the heat index being 105. He said this, and I thought it was pretty good in one way. He said, just think about it, Christians. The only hell we're going to ever experience is what the hot weather we're going through right now.
That's true, brother. All right. You got it. Amen.
That's what he said. He said, the only hell that we'll ever suffer is going to be in this life, whether it's the heat outside or it's the heat of troubles and trials here. That's hell of what we're going through here.
That's right. Amen.
But we're going to be delivered from that. Amen. Our feet's going to leave the ground. We're going to be out of here. The rapture of the church is going to take place. There'll be no more hot days. There won't be no more troubles and trials in this life. Amen. We're going to be free from that church. Don't you know it's in the near future? How many believe that Jesus is coming? How many is ready? Are you stirring your soul? Are you ready to meet him? Are you drawing closer to him?
Thank God. We believe it. Thank God.
We love the church. God of second chance. Oh, he had mercy on me. Church, I think about the times, amen, the times I failed God. I'll say if I live to be November, amen, I'll have a birthday of 32 years of being saved by the grace of God. And those soon be 32 years of serving God. Amen, there's been times when I felt like I was at the end of my way. I felt back to the cares of this life and the burdens I carry and the sufferings of the Christian, because we're going to have to suffer and we're going to suffer for a while. Amen, but glory to God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I say the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I come to know, church, when I begin to say, God, help me, strengthen me, lead me, direct my life. When I begin to be serious with God, and then in return, he began to be serious with me.
Yes, right.
But I had to come to that place.
Right.
Serious with God. And I begin to pray, Lord, can I be about my Father's business? If Jesus at the age of 12 was about his Father's business, and from the age of 12 to the age of 30, it is not recorded in Scripture about the life of Jesus no more being the carpenter's son. But he's just the carpenter's son. Oh, there's a message in that entirely. About Jesus being the carpenter's son. Amen. There's a message entirely about the work of his father Joseph with the tools that he had to use in that time. Amen. To build things by his hands. There is a message to know that he, Jesus, is the master builder. Amen. We know he has built his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. We know there's power in the church of Christ and we're building on that foundation, and that is Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes. He's the chief cornerstone. Amen. We're the stones that he is placing upon the foundation that we're building upon. And he is the master builder.
Yes, that's right. God.
Come on, brother.
I'm so thankful for that today.
Amen, brother. Come on. Praise God.
But it comes down to this, and only you can know. If the death angel calls you today, do you know of a surety that you're ready to meet God? Don't deceive yourself. What's in the back of your mind? But are you fully persuaded in your own mind?
Right.
Brother Joel, we know he works at the funeral home, been there for over 30 years. Death is not a pleasant thing.
No.
It's not a pleasant thing to be around. And the Bible teaches us death is an enemy.
That's right.
But for the child of God, there's no sin of death.
That's
right. Sin has been removed.
That's true.
And we'll be in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
But it doesn't matter. I never can get used to death, whether they're Christians or whether they're sinners. You never get used to that environment. It's always a sad environment. Amen. I know that we feel like we can rejoice at a funeral if a man of God has went on to be with the Lord, or a sister has gone on to be with the Lord. We feel like that's a graduation. And it is a graduation. It is a rejoicing time to know that they're in the presence of God. But their absence and the days that are ahead without their presence and the loneliness.
Right.
I had a man that attended my church, Brother Branch. A great man of God, preached the gospel for many years. His wife passed away. Oh, my God.
Amen. A man in his 70s, excuse me, had lived for the Lord for such a long time. Had a precious wife. Amen. A God-fearing woman. A praying woman. This is what he told me one day. He said, "Brother, like the relationship he had with his wife all those many years, I can never remember one sharp word that she ever spoke against me. Good relationship. She was a precious woman. I mean, she was a precious woman. But she died. And here he was left behind. Lonely. And that mobile home, me and Brother Frankie go over and pray with him at times. We go see him. Try to help him, you know. Amen. That precious wife has then gone from this life. Amen. He can rejoice. Amen. That my wife is no more suffering, no more. She's out of that body. She's present with the Lord. But I could just tell in his eyes and his heart, like, what in the world am I going to do? Because a part of him was gone. The Bible says that when you marry, you come as one flesh.
Right.
As two beings. Amen. For a man to leave his father and mother, cleaveth to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And when that companion leaves and dies, that part of you dies with them. What can fulfill that absence? That our God, the Holy Ghost, He is a father. He is a mother. He is a sister. He is a brother. He is a wife. And He is a husband. The Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. He is a perfect comforter.
That's right.
He's perfect in everything He does.
Come on, go ahead.
And that's the way I can lean on the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost comforts me. It comforted Brother Branch. Came and a part of me's out of me. Came and the one that birthed my children. The one that raised my children. She's gone now. Came and the Holy Ghost would come down and comfort him and anoint him to preach and to preach and to strengthen him. And then the Lord sent my brother a girlfriend. Another good Christian woman to stand right by his side. This was in December of 2004. I was working security at Clemson University. I was on the night shift. I was on the third shift at that time. I received a phone call. 6 o'clock in the morning. Sister Gillum called me. This is Brother Branch's girlfriend now. They was close. They went to church together. She'd ride him around, take him to town, buy groceries, go to revivals. Said, "Brother Cole, let's pray." I tried to call him. He's not answering his phone. Not answering his phone. He always answers his phone. Feel like something's wrong. I'm going over there. So she goes over there, walks in. There he is, sprouted out on the couch. Dead. She reached over and touched him. He was still warm. He wasn't cold. He was still warm. He just passed, just maybe an hour before or something. He walked in. There he was. So he looked so peaceful. He was laid back on the sofa. No breath in his body. But God fulfills, church. See, God knew that he needed this woman to help him through his very last breath. She stood by him all the way. I got a picture of them at home when they was just so close together and just put their arms around one another, had a good relationship. Now, this is just a few years after his wife had passed. And God sent that woman to stand by his side to his final hour.
That's right.
Help him all the way. He died at 76 years of age. Lived a long life. Had children, grandchildren. Amen. God truly blessed the man of God. Now he's in the presence of Jesus. And one day I'll see him. I'll see his wife. Yeah. We'll be together. There's going to be a family reunion. There's going to be a marriage supper with the Lamb, church. Amen. Listen. Amen. God's merciful. He's not. He's a God that cares. He's a God that's going to help us. Amen. This same man I'm talking about, Brother Branch, I can remember one time. Probably in the early part of 2000, 2001, 2002. I can't remember exactly when it was. I went over to see Brother Branch one day. This is before his wife passed away. I had a good visit with them in their home. I said, "Brother, I'm going through a hard time right now, a difficult time, a hard trial. Can you help me out? I need you to preach for me." So he stood in the gap for about 1 month, maybe a little bit longer. For them services, I could just sit back and just meditate on God and get fed myself and get encouraged myself. He stood right with me in the ministry. I mean, he stood right there to preach. Amen. Brother Frankie can vouch with me. This is where he'd get up. Amen. He preached several messages, but after a period of time, Brother Branch, he seemed like he was coming down with dementia, a little bit of dementia. I may be coming down with Alzheimer's. I don't know really what was going on with him. He'd get up preaching. Sometimes you could tell something wasn't quite right with him because of his age and things he was going through, maybe. I don't know. But I remember this many times. Come on, Frank, you can help me out on this. He'd get up, he'd open his Bible, Acts chapter number 1. He said, all right, now you got your Bible, let's turn to Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. He'd read that same verse. He'd say, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Is that right? You shall be witnesses of me in Judea and Samaria and the most parts of the earth. You know the script. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he preached that message. And the next time I'd ask him to preach, he'd get up. He'd say, turn to Acts 1 and 8. And he preached the same verse. And then he'd get up again. Turn to Acts 1 and 8. And he preached from it again.
Amen.
He said, when you get a hold of this one, I'll go to the next one. You're not getting a hold of this one. Come on there. Come on. I tell you, God works in mysterious ways, don't he?
Yes, he does.
Glory to God. Isn't it going to be wonderful, church, to be with him? Isn't it going to be wonderful to know that one day we're going to be out of this suffering? Isn't it going to, we're going to be in the presence of Jesus? Who's it going to be for? It's going to be for the child of God is praying. It's going to be for the child of God is looking. It's going to be for the child of God is hoping. There's going to be a resurrection in this life. And one day we're going to be in the presence of Jesus.
Right, come on.
Amen.
It may be sooner than you think.
That's right.
It's true.
It just may be sooner than you think. Brother Joel, do you know that you're going to receive a call? Most likely today. I don't know if you're working today or not. But you could receive a call.
That's true.
You could have to go.
That's right.
So we know that call will come just any time.
That's
true. Do they put a hold on them type of calls? Do they wait? So we're going to wait a while? They have to do what they have to do.
Right.
And do it quickly.
That's right.
Lord, help us.
That's right.
But are you ready?
Come on, man.
Is this God a second chance coming by your way a second time? Or is he coming by you for the tenth time? Can there even be 10 righteous in the city of Sodom now spared? Would he even spare it for Lot and his family? Sure he would. Would he?
Right.
Could there be just 1 righteous or 10 righteous or 40 righteous? Or even how many righteous are in the city of Sodom? It come down to Lot, his family, Lot, Abraham's nephew, the times he interceded for his nephew, the times he had prayed, even though they separated and went on their merry ways because there was contention between their herdsmen. Amen. But God had mercy on Lot. He had mercy on his wife. But she looked back. When the angel said, escape for your life, don't look back. But she looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. She loved Sodom more than she loved God.
Come on.
So we got to love him.
That's right.
With all the heart, soul, mind, strength.
That's right.
Everything within you. You say, preacher, I'm praying about a certain need, but God's not coming through. There may be a reason why he's not coming through for you.
Go ahead.
You got to love him more. You got to have your priorities in the right places.
Right.
You got to seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Right, right.
Shall I fall in love with him over and over again?
Yes.
What kind of relationship are we building upon? What kind of God that we really serve? Is he the God of second chance?
That's right.
Is he? I'm asking you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Right.
Can you vouch with me?
Amen.
All right.
Can I have a witness?
Amen.
I said, can I have a witness?
Amen, brother.
Man, come on.
We serve a God of second chance. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time. What did he do? He ran from it. He disobeyed. Chapter 2 is what he went through.
That's right.
This been in hell, here am I. I was God went to him the second time. That's the mercy of God, brother. Let us all stand this morning. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for your goodness. We're thankful, God, for everything that you've done. We're thankful, God, that you are the God of second chance. Lord, you know the hearts of your people. Lord, you know what they face this morning. God, you know the sinner, the backslider, whoever may be here, God, whatever they may need from you. But God, I pray that you'll work. Draw them by your Spirit. God, we know that you're the God of second chance. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. I say, do you love him? Saints of God, I believe we need to have a season of prayer on this altar, don't you?
Yeah.
I believe we need to take our knees before God. Let's have some soul searching this morning. Say, God, help us. If God is the God of second chance, he continues to deal with you. He will help you. He will help you. The words that will come. I say, for whatever your need is. If you're lost, you need Jesus. If you need Jesus, you need to come. Amen. He's able to save you. He's able to help you.
make you. He's able to bless you and give you what you stand in need of. Praise God. I say, if God's calling you, only you know your heart. Amen. What stands between you and your God? Are you fully persuading to serve Him? He's able. I say, He is able. Let us pray.